The resurgence of winter weather has not always been pleasant. Ask anybody who lives in Redding about getting a foot of snow when the forecast didn't call for any. But it's made a big difference in mountain snowpack. Here's an example. On February 1st, the Willamette Basin in Oregon showed snowpack at just over half of what is average for that date. As of yesterday, the same basin had zoomed from 51% of average to 84% of average. In California, the story is even better, 145% of average across the entire state. We'll focus on Oregon, both the numbers and the process. Scott Oviatt is the snow survey supervisor at the Portland office of the Natural Resources Conservation Service, which is a division of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Scott, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
I appreciate you having me.
When we scheduled this interview, the story was a bit different. At the beginning of February, things were not looking very good. And was that pretty uniform across Oregon?
Well, not really. We've been seeing the impacts all winter from the California impacts moving up just east of the Klamath Basin in essentially the Lake County area and impacting the eastern third of Oregon, where it's been primarily near normal snowpack since the first of the year. Prior to that, we had some deficits, but the systems have been impacting that portion of the state with cooler temperatures. So that's been the recipient of the majority of the snowpack. And as you mentioned, breaking in, you know, the Willamette, the Rogan Umpqua, Klamath, and even the Deschutes, and of course the Mount Hood area, had been seeing very little snowpack, and what precipitation that fell up until, I guess you mentioned, the 1st of February was primarily in the form of rain.
So you were talking about the pattern that produced this, though. So we were getting generally wet systems from California that then slid east of the Cascades?
That's correct. And as you noted recently, these series of storms have made a major impact on your region in particular in southwestern Oregon, and even including the Willamette Basin and even, you know, moving over the Cascade Range to the Deschutes. So it's been a slight shift, but at the same time, the eastern portion of the state has also been receiving fairly modest amounts of snowpack.
You were talking about east of the Klamath Basin in particular. Klamath Basin, for example, was at 69% of normal, I see, as of the 1st of February, where the Lake County Goose Lake Basin is 103% of normal, just east of that. Both have seemed to come up quite a bit. I mean, is it just the last 7 to 10 days when most of this has happened?
No, it's primarily since about the 8th or 9th of February. That's when we saw the shift in the storm track, as well as the cooler temperatures starting to prevail. You mentioned the Klamath Basin this morning. We're at 98% of normal, and Lake and Goose County are at 130% of Goose Lake, I should say, are 130% of normal. And then if you look at the basins in eastern and northeast Oregon, they're all well above normal at 119% to 131% of normal. It's a little bit different story still in the Willamette and the Mount Hood Sandy River areas, where we're 86% in the Willamette, 81% there. So we're still behind in terms of, you know, what we normally see in terms of snowpack. And we're also behind in precipitation, too. It was just the result of that warm fall and the continued warm temperatures and lack of precipitation in January.
It looks like the numbers are continuing to climb, though, because even between what I'm looking at, which is the February 20th report, you probably have the 21st in front of you. I didn't have time to get it myself this morning, but that's a couple of clicks still higher than yesterday in both Willamette and Mount Hood.
Yeah, we had another system come through here in northern Oregon yesterday that gave us some more snow and precipitation. One of the concerns still is, or it's not necessarily a concern, but we're keeping an eye on it, is that the water year precipitation, it still remains below normal statewide. I mean, we're at 89% of average statewide water year precipitation. And that's just due to the fact that we just had that really dry, warm fall when we have historically seen, you know, precipitation in the higher amounts in October, November, you know, leading in those fall rains. We just didn't get those soaking rains this year across the state.
And I noticed that even since not the water year, but the calendar year, things have been a bit different. I was remarking the other day about the fact that Redding, California, for example, since January 1st, about 4 inches above normal, where Eugene is about 4 inches below normal.
Right, and that's kind of the cutoff there. You know, when we look at the Rogue Umpqua, we haven't had as much precipitation there, but we have been a little bit more. But when you get over that divide there between the Willamette and the Rogan Umpqua, it's a significant difference.
So Rogan Umpqua, as of February 1st, was at 60% of normal for snowpack. And this is snow water equivalent we're talking about, right?
That's correct, which is the amount of water in the snowpack.
And what do you have for the most recent number on Rogue and Umpqua?
As of this morning, we're at 95%.
95? Wow, okay. So that's 5% higher than even a day before.
That's correct. And that, you know, we had that storm system, which did do that, brought that in. And, you know, we look at the individual sites in these basins, and it's pretty standard across all elevations with the gains. So that's the good news. You know, normally we see just the lower elevations being left out, but we're getting some low elevation snowpack, and it's above normal in some cases, which is bringing those values up.
Scott Oviatt, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Snow Survey Supervisor at the Portland Office of the Natural Resources Conservation Service at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. You're welcome to join us. Questions, comments about snowpack and snowpack collection data methods. Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone or join in by email at jx@jeffnet.org. Probably should go back and get a little bit of a disclaimer here. I mean, when we're talking about snowpack in various basins, I mean, this is snowpack relative to historical averages in those basins, right? I mean, so an Eastern Oregon basin might get to like 120% of normal, but on a lower amount of snow than, say, the Willamette or Mount Hood.
That's a very good point. Yes, exactly. But conversely in that, where once you get east of the Cascades, most of those basins and areas and watersheds are dependent upon that snowmelt runoff for agriculture, municipalities, and other purposes of water storage. So it's more reliant on that snow melt runoff, whereas west of the Cascades, especially the Willamette, it's very much a rain-driven system where snow melt doesn't necessarily drive the system or is reflective of late-season stream flows.
I was made aware of that just in the last couple of years, the fact that the systems are going to be different in the kind of precipitation they depend upon, and you just nailed it right there, that the Willamette, for example, is a rain-dependent system, where east of the Cascades, it's more of a snow-dependent system.
Right, and we have that nice healthy mix in the Rogue and Umpqua where we are reliant on snowmelt runoff, you know, especially for reservoir storage and stream flow sustenance. So it's kind of a both two-edged sword there. We do need the rainfall, and especially in the early fall, to build up the soil moisture profiles, and then we need the snowpack to sustain those flows throughout the spring and summer.
Do the fall rains and the increasing amount of moisture that you want to get into the soil, does that help the snowpack stay on top of the soil?
Well, it does that, but the main purpose of that is if you have a saturated soil, when you start to get melt-off in the spring, there's nowhere for that water to go in the soil profile. And additionally, the tree canopy has sufficient water for uptake, where if you have a dry fall, that water, of course, infiltrates into that soil, possibly into the bedrock, and then is uptaken by the vegetative process. So you have a dry system, which will not allow for that runoff to occur.
Scott, let's talk about the technology of acquiring snowpack information. I know there's still some live surveys, but you know, the fact that we get daily numbers reminds people that there are gadgets out there that are doing the work. Can you describe some of these gadgets to us?
Yeah, essentially they consist of what we call a snow pillow, which is filled with a fluid, which as snow or water falls on it, the pressure change in that is measured by a data acquisition system, and that relates to the amount of water in the snow. And then that in turn is telemetered back to our computers here in Oregon, in Portland, Oregon. Additionally, we measure the amount of precipitation, be it liquid or solid, you know, snowpack or snow or sleet or any frozen precipitation. And then we measure temperature and also snow depth.
So I love the term snow pillows. I always have. Do they actually look like pillows?
They're a circular, about a 10-foot diameter pillow made out of a very tough, resilient rubber material. It's similar to rubber and filled with an organic antifreeze. And as it's depressed, you know, as I mentioned, the change in that fluid level back in the shelter buildings, we call it, is measured by a pressure transducer. So the amount of pressure change relates to that amount of snow on the ground.
So the pillow is just registering the snow water equivalent, or the weight, basically?
Weight, exactly, which relates to snow water equivalent. So it's completely, it's kind of an independent system, but it's calibrated to measure that snowpack change.
And when you talk about calibrating, I mean, how much maintenance do these things take in the time of year when you can reach the snow pillows?
We need to visit each site a minimum once each year during the snow-free season. So we're limited by that because we have out of this Portland office, we have 156 stations which we need to visit in Washington and Oregon between May 1st on an optimal year where you have early melt-off and October 1st. After that, you know, after October 1st, you start to see snowpack accumulation, so you can't access these sites, and you don't want to maintain them or check the calibration rates while you're in the measurement season.
So just out of curiosity, you mentioned stations in Washington. How is Washington State doing relative to normal snowpack?
They have a similar pattern to us. However, west of the Cascades, they are a little concerned. They do are still indicating some drought conditions, which is surprising because normally we get the Pacific impacts. We always think of the Olympic Mountains and west side of the Cascades outside of Seattle getting sufficient snow. They've had some storms. However, with this shift in the pattern, as we've seen here to the south, the jet stream is pushing everything southward, so they've been in drier conditions.
So, again, we're talking to Scott Oviatt, Snow Survey Supervisor at the Portland Office of the Natural Resources Conservation Service in the USDA Department of Agriculture. Questions, comments from you about snow surveys and snowpack as is measured at the moment, join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So are there still people who go out and do live snow surveys with the tubes and everything?
Oh, certainly, yeah. We have approximately 80 stations that, during the peak portions of the snowpack season, February 1st, March, and April, we have cooperators and various staff members go out and measure that manually. We measure that once a month on the first of the month, and that matches up to the historical record of these stations. So many of these stations were established anywhere from the 20s to the 30s, so we have a long-term record that relates that that snowpack index. The goal is to ultimately automate most of these sites, but we still want to maintain some of these historic sites because we have that historic record of measuring on the first of the month in those periods. Obviously, you miss the in-between days and the change in snowpack, be it melt-off or accumulation, by not having a daily reading.
So it's really just to maintain historical records, you're saying, that's why people still go out there?
It is, but it's, as I said, it also is a very valuable point for snowpack indexing because on the first of the month when we issue our water supply outlook reports that contain our volumetric water supply forecasts, we use that information, and sometimes we plug that into the forecast equations as a valuable tool. Additionally, you know, as resources have varied through time in terms of staff and ability to add sites or maintain sites, being the automated sites, we still rely on those manual sample points to supplement the automated data.
Scott, is there a most critical time? I mean, is April 1st or something the single snowpack announcement of the season?
Well, there's a couple of things we think about. We think about when the peaks generally happen, you know, in terms of historically. And across Oregon, that can be from March 15th through as early as March 10th all the way through April 1st, depending upon your elevation and your temperatures. So that's a critical point so you can see what your peak value is. Because if you do not attain your peak value in relation to the normal, you know you're most likely going to see water shortages or diminished values in stream flows relating to snowmelt runoff. So generally, March and April are the two values we look at. We have seen years where we've had an extended spring with cooler temperatures and more storm impacts, so it's not a given number or reference value.
Have the measurements become less predictable in recent years? I mean, can figures show normal or close to it earlier in the winter and then plunge toward the end, that sort of thing?
Actually, what we're seeing is this high variability with these warm periods in the middle of winter, which we've frequently seen, warm, dry periods, for instance, January statewide in Oregon was the case this year. And in other years, we've seen very warm April conditions where we've had a very early melt-off that's resulted in the minimizing the impact of an above-normal snowpack. So if you lose that value in the continued stream flows early in the year, you don't have sustained stream flows, and you do run into water shortage situations.
So you said there's a stream flow forecast issued at some point in the spring?
First of each month, January through June 1st, our water supply outlook is issued, and a forecast will be issued in terms of relating that to snowpack. And it varies by basin. Some basins are forecast on June 1st, some are not. And also, it just depends on the the value of the snowmelt runoff. So it's a case-by-case basis, but we do issue forecasts on the first of each month.
It sounds like a lot of variables you have to include in here. I mean, like based on when the snow falls at a certain time, or the rate of snow melt, that sort of thing.
Exactly, and that's what makes it challenging. Because, for instance, if you issue a forecast on the first of the month, and you immediately have a storm impact the area, or you have a period of 70 degree weather where you have very high runoff, that influences what you're going to look at the next forecast point. So it's a challenge, and with this high variability, as I mentioned, that we've been seeing over the last 10 to 15 years, it is even more challenging relating that to historical patterns.
A couple of emails here for you, Scott. Larry in Ashland wants to know if the government shutdown affected your snowpack data acquisition or analysis.
The main impacts we felt were we weren't able to travel to some of our sites to maintain outages or repair some of the data, but in terms of issuing data and products, we were able to maintain that throughout the shutdown.
And Becca in Lane County wants to know if the snowpack in the Pacific Northwest had anything to do with the polar vortex this year.
If we recall, just last week, we had a spinoff from the polar vortex, which really influenced our low elevation areas, Seattle and Portland in particular, last 2 weeks, where we had low elevation snow, which caught a lot of people off guard. And I think that extended down even into your area. So in terms of a general statement, yes, but it wasn't the main polar vortex that we've been reading about that impacted the Midwest and the East Coast.
You talked about the variability, and particularly when it comes to things like trying to predict how much water is going to be available. Obviously, you're in the Department of Agriculture, so people growing things are going to be looking at these numbers. I mean, will a few, for example, 100-degree days in May throw off your projections?
Certainly, and it will impact how we'd have to change and modify our forecasts on June 1st. If we see 100-degree temperatures, in the lower elevations, we know we're probably going to be well above freezing at the higher elevations, just because we, in the Oregon, for instance, we don't have those large elevation differences. Our tall peaks are maybe 9,000 feet at the highest. So we know that those higher temperatures and that sun insulation is going to impact the snowpack. So, yeah, that can definitely influence things.
In your office, Scott, do people walk around with gigantic sets of numbers in their head all the time?
Yeah, that would be me, the ever-changing number. are we on target or are we not?
Right, and it's good to see that we are getting certainly close to target west of the Cascades now. So 95%, you said, as of today in the Rogue Umpqua Basin and 86% in the Willamette Basin?
Yes, and we're cautiously optimistic. We want to keep that wording in there in that if we are to dry up and not see the continued wet pattern and cooler temperatures, that could change our outlook significantly, mainly due to the fact that we went into the fall with very dry conditions, low stream flows, and limited reservoir storage just due to demand late last year.
And I want to remind our listeners, too, as we get out, that statewide percent of normal in California as of yesterday was 145%. So looking good on reasonably good on both sides of the state line. Scott Oviatt is the Snow Survey Supervisor at the Natural Resources Conservation Service in Portland. Thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
I appreciate you having me.